Hello, welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Constantine Vrondopoulou with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. And with me, as always, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, second week in a row, I'm hosting. You're bringing the goods. How you doing?
I'm doing well, KV. A lot more volatility this week than last week. So, really looking forward to diving into what's driving it and how we're viewing this volatility.
No question, Tony. I was going to say we had a really good recovery going off of last week's Thursday, Friday lows until today, of course. The broad markets are down and down substantially, have given up the vast majority of the rally that we've seen so far this week. Now, wanna ask you, what do you make of this action? How are you thinking about it?
Yeah, it's been a pretty difficult, I would say, time for equity investors over the last 4 or 5 weeks now. We have really been on a real roller coaster ride. A couple of weeks ago, we were making new all-time highs, and we were starting to get a lot more concerned around the slowdown of the labor market and even valuations from an AI perspective. And but the start of this week, there was a lot of optimism around the reopening of the government. We saw both the S&P and the NASDAQ seemingly on track to potentially retest record highs. The one thing that we did want to note here is the fact that the rally here over the last nearly 6 months or so have become increasingly narrow. Market breadth has been stubbornly weak since June. And there are some early signs that the small cap and cyclical stocks were starting to play a little bit of catch up here in the last few days, and arguably during today's volatility. What's interesting is that you have the NASDAQ down over 2%, but if you look at equal weight, it's barely down 0.75%. So market breadth is actually continuing to improve on today's volatility, and we're seeing that rotation out of these high growth tech names into the rest of the market. And that in itself is probably a relatively healthy mechanism of the market to see some type of rotation, to see consolidation, to see some level of a pullback here, considering we've had such a strong rally here off of the April lows that have largely have gone unchecked. These types of pullbacks can provide meaningful, healthy markets that provide better opportunities for investors to get long, in theory. Now, I will say, historically speaking, you have the S&P 500 recently bouncing off that 50-day moving average, suggesting that the broader uptrend is resuming. However, if you look at the chart here, the divergence of the price chart with the momentum chart measured by MACD here, the fact that we've seen this divergence since June sent gives us a sense for caution, a sign that the momentum is starting to wane. But the thing about calling a top is that that's a fool's errand. So I'm not going to do that. But there are some signs here that the market is clearly building some complacency here, and the risks are more skewed here to the downside. We've seen some major ones come to the surface here in the last few months. Largely, the biggest one that I think is starting to be a bigger factor here is the slowdown of the labor market. We've seen the labor market weaken for nearly 6 months now, and largely, the market has kind of shrugged off the weakness of the labor market because that has been driving the Fed to cut interest rates. However, I think we're starting to see some concerns that the labor market perhaps is slowing down at a pace faster than the Fed is willing to cut interest rates, and that is starting to concern some investors. And that's suggesting, from my perspective, some additional downside risk that investors weren't really thinking of even just a month or two ago. And then you have the fact that the 10-year yields have stubbornly stayed above 4.1%. This is continuing to pressure kind of these debt-heavy zombie companies. We now have record number of zombie companies that have higher interest payments than the amount of revenue that they're generating. So this is an issue here for the broader rest of the market, if you will. And then what's becoming increasingly more concerning, especially with the few stocks that are leading this market higher, is really just the valuations around AI related stocks. And I could argue that a lot of these companies are actually quite profitable and growing substantially from at these moments, which would suggest that their capital expenditure is sufficient. However, we have to remember that a lot of those growth in terms of revenues and earnings from firms like Meta and Microsoft, they're really just coming from a handful of private companies that are losing a lot of money. And the question is, how long can those companies continue to lose money at that particular pace to continue fueling Nvidia, Meta, Alphabet's stellar earnings? And I think that is something that investors need to start asking some questions about. Might not be today, might not be next week, might not be next month, but at some point that's going to come to a head. And I think that's going to cause some issues and some volatility in the broader markets. You see the VIX up here, above 20% here. This is showing that, the market is concerned. The market is concerned specifically around whether or not the Fed is going to cut interest rates here at the December meeting. And I think in this type of market environment, the best thing to do is to consider selling some premium here, whether you are a long equity investor and you're trying to trim some of that long exposure by selling some cover calls, or you can do it using risk-defined strategies such as credit spreads or even iron condors. That gives you the ability to raise a little bit of cash in these types of days of high volatility and use that cash potentially to buy some puts or to hedge your portfolio if the need for that arises, if things start to get a little uglier, which from what I can see here, the risks are skewing more to the downside, even though overall the market still looks like it has the room to continue to run into the end of the year.
Great breakdown, Tony. Speaking of dispersive divergent markets, it looks like you have an options trade idea on a name that today was one of the only stocks that was, barely green to maybe slightly lower on the day when broad markets are down big. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I want to talk about FedEx because they have been on a transformation here, a multi-year transformation plan that's clearly starting to show through, on the financial results. They recently just reported earnings where they saw about 3% revenue growth, 7% growth in terms of operating income. But more importantly, they've hit their target of getting $200 million plus in quarterly savings from the transformation that they've been doing with regards to the network consolidation and the automation that they've been building into the company. So if you look at the stock here, if you look at the chart, the stock has been range bound, call it between 210, 250 for the last 6, 7 months. And it's recently just broke out above that level. But more importantly, not only has it broken out above an absolute resistance level, it's actually outperforming the S&P 500 as it does that. And I think that is a really important factor to look at when you do see a breakout as to whether or not it could have the legs to continue moving higher. If you look a little bit further back, you see that the stock was around the $300 range at the end of last year. That would be my upside target here, given the upside potential here, especially with earnings coming up here on December 18th. That would be my price target of $300. And what's really compelling about this particular story and the breakout, and why I think that there's fundamental or this potential institutional accumulation of this stock on the breakout here, is really looking at the fundamentals and the valuation, because FedEx trades at about 14, 14 and a half times forward earnings, which is about a 25% discount to the industry. Now, that would typically, and I would argue that the stock is trading at that low valuation because the stock has struggled a lot over the last couple of years. There have been some concerns this year with regards to whether or not there was going to be a substantial slowdown in consumer spending. The tariffs certainly did not help. The concerns around global freight and overnight shipping, which is largely where FedEx generates the majority of their revenue. There was a lot of concerns that that was going to slow down materially this year. So far, that actually hasn't materialized. And if anything, FedEx has provided guidance for holidays this year that surpassed analyst expectations. So if you look at the business, it's growing just as fast as the rest of its peers. It is nearly just as profitable as its peers. And that's really one of the segments or the parts of the business that the management team is really focused on, is getting margin expansion back towards, you know, that 6-7% range. And if that's the case, you know, the fact that it trades at a 25% discount, in my opinion, represents a pretty substantial upside opportunity here. So I think this is a good example here where the breakout here on the chart aligns with the fundamentals of the business. And I think this makes it a compelling opportunity for investors to get long in the long run. So the option strategy that I want to take a look at here is to sell some premium. And this is because the stock has had a pretty substantial run here in the last month and a half here. This is a $220 stock back in October. You know, we're now talking about around 270 now. So even if the stock takes a little bit of a pause and a little bit of breather, selling some premium going out to the December 26 weekly expiration, which basically gets you into the end of the year, selling the 265, 250 put spread earlier today, you can collect about $5.25 for that put spread. And like I said, what this gives you is a trade structure that profits if FedEx continues to move higher. But if it takes a little bit of a pause here, a little bit of a breather over the next few weeks, this is a strategy that is still going to be profitable in that type of market environment. You're risking $975 per contract to potentially make $525, which for a credit spread has actually a pretty strong risk to reward ratio of about 1.8 to 1. So I really like to trade these types of credit spreads where I have a risk to reward ratio less than 2 to 1, so that I have a risk to reward ratio that is quite favorable for this type of market environment and gives me downside protection if FedEx were to drop back down to, let's say, the $250 level or potentially even lower, which is that breakout level that I'm expecting FedEx to hold.
Yeah, Tony, very good points. Neutral bullish strategy, receiving some premium here up front, which is a little better than one third of the width of the strikes. Just something that I want to point out as an option strategist here at Fidelity, I want to say that given the fact that there is an earnings event coming up in December, it was quite interesting for me to see FedEx's implied volatility at 27.5% annualized or thereabouts, which puts it in the 17th percentile. I mean, that is fairly modest. And of course, when we're talking about implied volatility, we're talking about option premiums relative to where they have been over time, continuously looking backwards. So for me, you know, the strike of choice, the 265, kind of seems to be fairly aggressive, and therefore I have to ask you that question, right? What do you do? How do you manage risk in case this thing decides to actually move lower in a substantial way? Let's say that the markets do continue to move lower and FedEx decides to catch down to it. What do you think? What do you think?
Before I answer that question, I just want to address kind of your observation with regards to selling premium, even though implied volatility on FedEx at the moment seems quite low, given the fact that this option's expiration includes the next earnings announcement. You know, this is really where you're absolutely right. You know, that overall options implied volatility is on the lower end, which generally is not the environment that would favor selling premium like I'm doing here. But I do want to note here is if you look at the skew here, the difference between the roughly at the money strike price that I'm selling versus the out of the money strike price that I'm buying, that skew is actually still skewed quite heavily in favor of selling these types of risk-defined strategies. So it's important that when you're looking at volatility, you don't just look at volatility of the at the monies, that you kind of look at it across the entire surface or at least across the entire moneyness for the expiration that you're trading. To answer your second question with regards to how do you manage risk, that's a really good point. And it's a great question. And I think it's a question that every investor has to ask themselves for every options trade you make before you actually execute as to what is going to be your exit plan. Specifically, what's your exit plan if the trade does not go in the direction you expect it to? So first of all, there's two things that I'm looking for. The news, FedEx broke out above the $250 resistance level, and that is what led me to take a bullish view here on this particular stock. So that's the first thing I'm going to look for. If FedEx were to drop below 250, regardless of what the option premium is trading for, if it drops below the resistance level that it broke out from, that would be a reason for me to get out, even if it hasn't triggered my stop loss levels that I traditionally would use for a structure like this. On the other hand, if the pre, you know, I've sold something for $5.25, if the trade goes against me, the cost of the spread will increase in value. So generally speaking, once you lose 100% of the premium of the profit potential of the credit spread, that's a good time where it's time to consider cutting your losses and moving on, rather than holding on to it, potentially losing the full max risk here, which is $975. So basically what I'm saying is that if you sell one contract, the maximum profit potential here is $525. If on the flip side, this trade goes against you and you find yourself down $525, that would be a good time to consider cutting your losses and moving on, because if you trade something like this and the structure is down 100% of the premium that you could potentially collect, chances are the stock is not moving in the direction you expect it to, certainly not in the time frame that you're expecting it to. So it's better to simply take a loss at that stage rather than holding on to it, because at that stage, if you continue to hold on to it, you have a fairly high chance that you can lose the full maximum loss, which would be $975. And that's generally a scenario that you want to avoid if you could. So using a stop loss order here would be a good way to go about doing so.
Excellent breakdown, Tony. Stock sideways to higher is what you want in a neutral bullish strategy, but you have to plan for what you're going to do in case it goes against you. Very good. Tony, we are getting to the back end here of the earnings season for the S&P 500 companies. I'm wondering if there is any particular stock that you think is going to be important in the following weeks that is still yet to report.
Yeah, so one big name that we are almost all looking at reporting next week is NVIDIA. And I would argue that the pullback that we've seen here in NVIDIA is an opportunity for long-term investors. You know, the breakout here recently above 200, there were certainly a lot of momentum chasers that chased that move higher. I certainly thought that that was a potential double top that broke out and it was just going to continue to take off. Clearly, that didn't work out. The stock's now trading around 185. We're now talking about just around the 50-day moving average. And I think for long-term investors, that could be a much better entry point. Now, if you look at NVIDIA, what's really compelling here is the fact that it's trading at around 28 times forward earnings. So if you consider the fact that there are virtually no stocks that are growing revenues and earnings in the 30-35% range and making net profit margins that are greater than 50%, stocks like that, one, there are very few stocks that even have those types of profitability and growth metrics. And if they are, they're certainly not trading at 28 times forward earnings. So we're talking about a valuation that is largely in line with the overall semiconductor industry, which is not growing anywhere near at the pace that NVIDIA is, and certainly not as profitable. So you're really able to potentially be an investor in NVIDIA, in my opinion, at a much lower valuation, which is why I really like going into earnings next week, taking a bullish stance here for NVIDIA.
Given the fact that it's one of the largest market capitalization companies in the index, it would certainly be important to pay attention to the results and the action thereafter for sure. Tony, we do have a look back on an options trade that you would like to manage in a very unique way. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so about a month ago, I laid out a bullish thesis on utility stock Pacific Gas and Electric. At the time, the stock was trading at 1678, and we're looking at buying the December $16 call options. And I specifically bought a call option that was already in the money because that's going to help offset some of the time decay aspect of being long a call. Now, fast forward nearly a month, the stock is essentially unchanged. So the call option that we purchased has lost some value, but I think this is an opportunity where we can sell some short-term premium against it to offset some of the time decay, to give us a lower cost basis and a potential higher probability of a break-even if the stock continues to stay where it is and maybe move a little bit higher between now and that December expiration. So we're long that December $16 call option at $1.57. What I think we could do is sell a short-term November $17 call option. These are call options that are only about 25 cents out of the money, but we're going to collect about 22 cents for that November $17 call option. That's going to bring in 22 cents. That brings your total max risk or the total net cost basis of the long $16 call down to $1.35. So that means that the stock would only have to be above $17.35 by that December expiration in order for this call option to be profitable, which is equates to about a 15% reduction in overall risk by selling the short-term call against that. And if we're successful, meaning if in November the stock is still trading below $17, I would potentially look at maybe selling a December call option as well to potentially further bring in the cost of that long call, hopefully close to $17 as possible, so that if we do see a small rally in this particular stock, this strategy can turn profitable by that December expiration.
Tony, a couple of questions for you here. So you're turning this thing into a bull call diagonal spread. That is what it's called, with its new structure essentially. And you're picking next week's expiry at the 17 strike, which is approximately about 1.2% away from the current price or thereabouts of the stock. Now, the implied volatility of 30-day to expiration options are at 30% annualized, which would imply about a 1.9% daily expected move. So we're pretty tight here on the ceiling that we're choosing. I'm wondering, what is making you think that that 17 is going to be the near-term resistance? And the second question has to do kind of with the fact that we, I guess, have to pay attention to this trade a lot closer through the remainder of next week if people decide to take it, to make sure that the stock doesn't get away or substantially above that $17 level on the upside. Otherwise, this strategy would require some additional management. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we are adding some complexity here to this particular trade, but this is just giving you an example of the type of adjustments that you can make to a strategy if you're long a call and you're finding that time decay is starting to eat away into your profits, but you still believe in the upside potential of the stock. So I'm purposely selling a November expiration that's just a little over a week away to sell that one a $17 strike. I am getting pretty tight here on that strike price because the stock has really struggled at that $17 level. It just hasn't broken out here. We don't really see a catalyst on the horizon here in the next week. So that's why I'm choosing to be a little bit more aggressive, collecting 22 cents, roughly 15% of the call option in a little over a week. But you're right, in terms of if the stock is above 17 after that November expiration, we have to manage this even further. So, like I said, whether the stock is above or below that $17 level here at November expiration, I would likely roll that November $17 call out to December and look at collecting a little bit more premium here as well to further reduce that. So especially if it's above 17, I'm definitely going to roll it. If it's below 17, I'll have to revisit whether or not I think the stock is going to make that move between now and that December expiration to decide what's the best adjustment to make.
All right, there you have it, listeners, breaking down a fairly complex topic into something that is simple to understand. Keep an eye on that one into next week. We'll revisit it if we need to, of course. Tony, this brings us to a close. I want to thank all of our viewers for showing up. A reminder, of course, that you could register for the upcoming session, which is going to be a special session next week, a three-part session. Inclusive of an hour at the end of In the Money. You could register for it by following the link that you can see here on this page. A reminder that we on the Trading Strategy Desk here at Fidelity do a follow-up show every Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can subscribe to that by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money follow-up. And for the remainder of you trying to find out what else is going on here on the trading side of Fidelity Investments, subscribe to fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly newsletter. Thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate you showing up and sharing the good and interesting ideas with us as always.
Thank you, KV. It's a pleasure to be here.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only, and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.